Today at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. African football fans are looking forward to a big weekend of Nations Cup knockout matches in Egypt. We've reached the round of 16, so the winners will advance to the quarterfinals, which will be played on July 10th and July 11th. Joining us now with a preview is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. After achieving their first knockout stages qualification in 41 years, Ugandan Cranes are facing a tough mission when they take on Senegal's Teranga Lions at the Cairo International Stadium in the second of two games slated for today. Sebastian Desab is the head coach of the Cranes of Uganda.
We are qualified for the second round. It was the target of the federation, and I am very happy for that. And about Egypt, sure, you have some key players, and Salah scored in the key moment, and I congratulate Egypt for the win.
In the meantime, Ugandan's players ended their boycott of the African Cup of Nations training after being promised an extra $6,000 each by the country's football association. The squad took to the pitch 3 hours behind schedule on Wednesday after securing the extra cash. The older Friday fixture will see Morocco trading tackles with Benin. On Saturday, Nigeria and Cameroon will renew their often bitter rivalry in Alexandria. Both teams are under pressure after finishing second in their groups. It will be the seventh encounter between Nigeria and Cameroon in the African Cup of Nations. Meanwhile, host Egypt need to get over their first-round jitters as they meet South Africa. Bafana coach Stuart Baxter says his side will rise to the challenge of facing host Egypt because his players will want to prove a point to themselves as well as the fans.
We've got this opportunity now to play against the host nation in front of a load of people in a very, very hostile environment. And that's the time that you want people to stand up, and I think the group are looking forward to it.
Newcomers Madagascar, still unbeaten at the finals, will meet Democratic Republic of Congo in Alexandria on Sunday, while Algeria, arguably the most impressive team of the tournament so far, will face Guinea on the same day. Nicolas Dupuy is Madagascar's national team coach.
Dear Congo is a very good team. 49 FIFA in March 2016. Before I was a head coach, the result of the score between Congo and Madagascar was 6-1.
The match between Ghana against Tunisia on Monday could go to penalties if the group stage is anything to go by, as Ghana drew two of their matches and Tunisia all three. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And enjoy this weekend's Nations Cup knockout matches. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Senegalese musician King Ibu will be cheering for the Lions of Teranga this Friday evening when they play the Cranes of Uganda in Cairo. In fact, King Ibu has a song in tribute to the Teranga Lions. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah, let's sing a man. Sing a man. Sing a man.
That Senegalese musician King Ibu with his song about the country's national football team, the Lions of Teranga. The Teranga Lions will play the Cranes of Uganda Friday evening in a round of 16 Africa Cup of Nations match that kicks off at 1900 hours UTC GMT in Cairo. For more on the Senegal-Uganda game, here's Magumi Davis Rakawinj in Kampala.
Senegal coach Aliou Cisse has described today's encounter against Uganda Cranes as a typical African duel. Cisse, who captained the Lions of Teranga at the 2002 FIFA World Cup, says he respects the Uganda Cranes, but says his experienced team will win. The pre-tournament favorite Senegal won against Uganda's neighbors Tanzania and Kenya, but lost against Algeria in Group C. Sports journalist Sharon Adong says although the Senegalese boast of a good record against the Uganda Cranes, the latter can shock them.
When you look at also in the camp of Senegal, there's nothing much to worry about this time around. There's nothing so exceptional. I watched all their games with the counterparts, with the opponents. Uganda has what it takes. I will not be surprised if I see Uganda Cranes to the round of four. And that is the wish of every Ugandan.
Darren Cheyune, a sports analyst, agrees. But he says the Cranes players have to keep the temperament as they battle the Lions of Teranga.
I think the Cranes do stand a chance. If the contest is to go any longer to 120 minutes and into penalties, you could see the mark of Dennis Onyango in goal for the Uganda Cranes. But hopefully the psychology factor doesn't really affect them, considering they've been striking for their bonuses. And even if that was called down hours to the kickoff, you do feel that payment of this bonuses of $6,000 to each player will not easily fade out of the minds of the players.
Dennis Onyango, Uganda team captain, says his team is up to the task.
We had issues, but we resolved them as a team because these are issues that happen anyway. It's like anyway in the family where you have problems, but unfortunately in football it's money issues. But we're looking at the game which is ahead of us because we've got a nation to fight for. And we've got Ugandans back home that are looking up to us. So we are just focusing on the game at the moment and we've forgotten our past issues with the Federation.
Senegal beat Uganda by 1-0 with the two teams last met in a World Cup qualifier in 2013. Senegalese danger man Sadio Mane has won his teammates against the Uganda Cranes. The European Champions League winner has described the Uganda Cranes as simply not an easy team. Uganda Cranes coach Sebastian De Sabri says the only way to beat one of Africa's soccer powerhouse is to attack and score many goals.
It's a knockout game. It's not the same management against Egypt, but to beat Senegal we need to score. It's important for us to put an offensive tactic against Senegal. And we believe, and our chance sure is difficult because we respect so much Senegal, and we know he's a good team. In the last maybe 10 last game, he won every time with a good coach and very good players. But we have our quality.
Uganda Cranes last went beyond group stages in 1978 when they lost the finals to Ghana. It remains just a matter of time to see if the Lions of Taranga will divide the Uganda Cranes or if the Uganda Cranes will fly higher and save the next round. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakanji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. To capitalize on the popularity of the Women's World Cup football tournament in France, ESPN announced it's agreed on a TV deal with the National Women's Soccer League for the rest of the season. The network will televise 14 league matches beginning July 14th. The news comes after the defending champion United States beat England 2-1 on Tuesday in a Women's World Cup semifinal that was watched by more than 7 million total viewers here in the USA. That makes it the most watched soccer match on U.S. television since the 2018 World Cup final in Russia. The USA-England semifinal smashed records on the BBC, too. Let's turn our attention now to London and this year's Wimbledon tennis tournament. After he recapped a thrilling first round a few days ago, Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel is back to tell us about the second round. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. A fantastic first round set the tone for a great Wimbledon, and the second slate of matches did not disappoint. Favorites continued to fall. On the men's side, Stan Wawrinka, Marin Cilic, and even last year's semifinalist John Isner all lost to unseeded opponents. Wawrinka fell to 21-year-old American Riley Opelka, who at 6 feet 11 inches, or 211 centimeters, is tied as the tallest ever world-ranked tennis player. Cilic fell to Joao Souza in straight sets, while Isner, returning from a broken foot, struggled with his mobility and fell to Mikhail Kukushkin in 5 sets. On the women's side, it was Lauren Davis who pulled up arguably the upset of the tournament by beating defending champion Angelique Kerber. Davis only made it into the main draw as an alternate after losing in qualifying, but she clearly is making the most of her opportunity. Showing little weakness, however, were the big three of men's tennis: Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, and Rafael Nadal. All three moved into the third round. Nadal had an entertaining match against the talented but mercurial Nick Kyrgios, but Nadal's experience and determination shined through in a 4-set win. Let's hear some of Kyrgios' thoughts on the early round thriller.
I'm always willing to go out there and try and put on a show, and I know people that, you know, bought a ticket today, you know, probably had a great day. There was a lot of good matches on that court, and that was a really good match. I enjoyed myself a lot out there. And I was just, at times of that, I was looking around, like, you know, this is Wimbledon playing Rafa, and I'm having a lot of fun. You know, I was a little different, underarm serves, and, you know, there was a lot of people watching, so. But I'll probably wake up tomorrow, there'll be something negative about it for sure.
For the women, world number one Ash Barty cruised into the third round, while Kiki Bertens and Serena Williams both had to endure close 3-set matches, but they both survived and moved on as well. Let's hear what Serena had to say after dropping the first set against Kaya Juvan, but coming back for the victory.
Yeah, it was definitely coming together as the match went on. I'm just low on matches, basically. I could feel it, but I'm getting there, you know. Just have to just, like I said, just take every match as 5 matches and really learn from every single point.
And 15-year-old Coco Gauff continued her magical Wimbledon run. She defeated Magdalena Rybarikova in straight sets without losing a single game on serve. Gauff is currently playing Slovakian Polona Hercog. And some more updates on the third round as the third round begins today. The biggest upset yet in the men's bracket as 26th-seeded Guido Pella of Argentina took out 4th-seeded returning Wimbledon finalist Kevin Anderson of South Africa in a dominant straight sets win. And with 10th-seeded Karen Khachanov bowing out to Roberto Bautista Agut. The only top 10 seeds remaining are the Big Three and Japan's Kei Nishikori. While the Big Three could cruise through the thinned out bracket, one more upset and the tournament could be blown wide open. We're in for a great finish to Wimbledon this year, and you won't want to miss it. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. Lots of Wimbledon excitement. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The defending champion United States will play the Netherlands Sunday in the final of the Women's World Cup football tournament in Lyon, France. The American women are big favorites to lift their 4th World Cup trophy. On Friday in Lyon, FIFA president Gianni Infantino hailed the month-long tournament as the best Women's World Cup ever, and he pointed to the worldwide television audience.
Over 1 billion viewers all around the world. Which other event in the world, except for the men's World Cup of football, can unite 1 billion people around the world to watch this. Many, many people around the world have tuned in for the first time to watch a women's football match. Because of the event, because of course FIFA, because World Cup, because it is always special to have a World Cup. And they tuned in, and what did they see? Well, they saw actually that it's football, that this is football, that we have athletes playing football, women, girls playing football with technical skills, with physical skills, with tactical skills, and we have seen great games. We have seen as well less good games, of course, like in every tournament, but we have seen, and that was the vast majority, fantastic, fantastic games.
And FIFA president Gianni Infantino also said he wants to expand the Women's World Cup to 32 teams from 24 for the next edition in 2023.
Looking at this World Cup and at how many teams who did not qualify for this World Cup and who are there, and giving them as well a chance, I think we should increase the number of participants. We did it for the men. We went from 32 to 48. I think it's time to increase it for the women as well, from 24 to 32. The tricky thing there, of course, is that we have a World Cup coming on in 2023, for which we just started a month ago or a couple of months ago a bidding process based on 24 teams. So there we will need to act more quickly if we want to have 32 teams already in 2023. We will discuss it as a matter of urgency and see if we can already decide to increase for 2023, in which case we should reopen the bidding process and allow everyone to have a chance to organize or maybe co-host for some of those who have been bidding already for the 24 teams World Cup.
In addition, FIFA president Gianni Infantino says he would like the total prize money for the 2023 Women's World Cup to be doubled to $60 million. He also says he would like to see a Club World Cup for women starting in 2020 or 2021. Infantino says he'll take his proposals to the FIFA Council and member associations for approval. The FIFA president spoke Friday in Lyon, France, ahead of Sunday's Women's World Cup final between the defending champion United States and the Netherlands. As I mentioned earlier, the American women are big favorites to win on Sunday. They've won their last six matches against the Dutch by a combined score of 22 goals to 2. However, the teams haven't met since 2016, and the Dutch women have improved in that time. So we'll see what type of Women's World Cup final we get on Sunday in Lyon, France. In African athletics, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 19-year-old Kenyan Ronex Kipruto. He ran the fastest time ever on American soil for a 10-kilometer road race here on Thursday. Ronex ran the Peachtree Road Race in 27 minutes and 1 second to set a new road running record on American soil. The 19-year-old Kipruto surpassed the previous mark of 27 minutes and 4 seconds set by fellow Kenyan Joseph Kimani in the same race in 1996. And Kenya's Bridget Koske made it a clean Kenyan sweep. She won the women's race at the Peachtree in Atlanta in 30 minutes and 22 seconds. A big day for the Kenyans in Atlanta, Georgia. And that wraps up the July 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is DJ Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka.